Welcome, everyone, to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Today, we live in a world that is obsessed with sex. Sex everywhere. Sex in every movie. Sex in all entertainment. Broken homes. Upside-down lives. Adultery. Fornication. Homosexuality. Pedophilia, sins in the pulpit, sins in the cathedral, sins in the schools, sins everywhere, sex sins, sex, 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 sex. How did we get into this situation? Think about it. What is your life? Have you been affected because of sex sins? Yes, indeed. How did it come about that mankind has been given over to this, if you want to put it that way? Did God really intend it to be this way from the beginning? What happened to Adam and Eve? Well, let's go back to Genesis, the second chapter, and let's continue where we left off with the last video cast. And let's see what God did. God created man and woman in his own image, in the image of God created he them. And they were perfect. Let's see, after God personally formed and made Adam and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and Adam became a living being. What did God do then? Let's come over here to Genesis, the second chapter, and verse 15. Everyone needs a place to live, isn't that correct? Yes. And what is it that everyone really wants? They want their own plot of ground, don't they? Yes. Well, what did God give Adam? He gave him a beautiful garden called the Garden of Eden. But because God made man, made him thinking, a thinking human being, and we will see, he put a language right in his mind. He was created with a full-fledged language so God could communicate with him. And at this point, God appeared to Adam and Eve as if God himself were like a man. Now, that's not hard to do because nothing's impossible for God to do. And didn't God make man in his own image? Yes. So when Adam looked at God and was able to see a reflection of himself, he said, I look like God. But he wasn't God. Now, let's come to Genesis 2 and verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. It also means to guard it. And we'll see. One of the reasons why they sinned was because Adam did not guard it. And remember, the instruction that God gave Moses concerning what to do. And let's understand something about God's instructions. They are always true. They are always right. They are always fair. So the Lord said, verse 16, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may freely eat of every tree in the garden, but you shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day that you eat of it in dying, you shall surely die. Now then, Adam was to work, and of course it was beautiful, fantastic. Something that right now, even the most gorgeous kind of garden with trees and flowers and plants and all that we could imagine could not compare to what God gave to Adam and Eve. Now, after God made Adam, put him in the garden, now he began to instruct the man. Now, notice verse 18. And the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. because he didn't intend for man to be alone. And it isn't good for man to be alone. Makes you wonder about some who are alone all their lives. You know, some people have just been beaten down so much that they just give up on everything and just kind of keep their little mental senses and emotions stable by just withdrawing from everything. But it's still not good that a man be alone or a woman be alone. See, he made man, and then he made woman for man and for each other. God is a God of love. He gave us the capacity to love physically through sex, which also involves mental and emotional love. And he gave us great abilities to create and to build and to make. He created us so we could communicate with each other and with him. That's why you have the Bible. Let's see what he said here. He said, I will make a helper compatible for him. Now, the true meaning in the Hebrew is a counterpart, a sustainer beside him. And we will see that's the whole purpose throughout the whole Bible. It's not to exalt men to be lords and masters and rulers and cruel over women. Because the first time you mention man should be in charge, boy, the women's lib come out in troops. How dare you? Well, tell it to God. You go challenge God, not me. I didn't sneak into your house and put this in your Bible last night. It's been in Bibles from the beginning. So here's the lesson that he was going to teach Adam. Because you see, all the rest of the creation he made male and female made he them, so that they could reproduce, so that they could multiply, so that they could fill the earth. And in order for God's plan to go forward, there has to be replenishing, multiplying the earth. So here's a lesson that he was going to teach Adam. Verse 19, and out of the ground the Lord God had formed every animal of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them, and whatever Adam called each living creature, that became its name. So a living language, thinking, analyzing, understanding, conversation between God and Adam, looking at the animals, and how did they come by? Male and female. Male and female. Oh, Adam's going to get the point. Male and female. Male and female. Elephants, horses, dogs, birds, lizards, crawling things. Male and female. Male and female. And you even have that with trees, don't you? I remember we bought a cherry tree. Oh, we wanted to have cherries because we love cherries. Well, we didn't get a male tree to go with the female tree. So we never really got very many cherries. Finally, since there wasn't enough room in our yard, we had to cut it down. See, God is telling us something. God made each one of us incomplete, needing each other, male and female. So that together, we become one flesh. And together, we love each other. We help each other. We serve each other. And God put the man in charge. He was made first from the dust of the earth. So here, there was nothing compatible for him. Isn't that something? All right, let's go on. So God was going to solve the problem. Here's the first surgical operation beginning with Adam. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall over Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and afterward closed up the flesh underneath. Then the Lord made the rib which he had taken out of man into a woman and brought her to the man. Now, just a little aside for all you who think, well, everybody's equal. No, God did not make women from a separate hunk of dirt. Now, that's not to put women down. As we're going to see, one of the most important functions of women is to maintain morality within the family and within the community. And he brought her to the man. Now, the Hebrew there says, and he made a woman, means he built. God made her. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. What does this tell you? This tells you God explained what he was going to do to Adam before he put him to sleep. Said, now, Adam, you see, all these animals, there's male and female, male and female, male and female. You're male. There aren't any female here for you. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to make a wife for you. So I'm going to let you go to sleep, and I'm going to open up one of your ribs here, take it out, and I'm going to make a wife, a woman, compatible for you, and you compatible for her. In every way. And of course, sexually, that is absolutely true, is it not? Yes, indeed. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. So notice, in the word woman, there is man. In the word she, there is he. That's just the way the languages are. Because of what God did here. Now notice, God being a God of law, God being a God who wants permanent relationships. What did he do? Verse 24. For this reason shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And that's the central unit of all civilization. Man and woman, husband and wife. That's what God intended. Now, with all those beautiful circumstances, and remember, they hadn't yet sinned. Everything was lovely. Everything was good. Everything was so perfect that they were naked and they weren't ashamed. Amazing, isn't it? And I'm sure that God was the one who gave them their sex orientation classes. And I am sure that God told them what was going to happen. He just didn't up and leave them. Now, after they'd been there for a while, we don't know how long it was. Bible doesn't tell us how long that Adam and Eve were there before God let the serpent come in. But with the tree of life in the middle of the garden and the tree of knowledge of good and evil, God set before them choices. But he commanded them not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day that they ate of that, in dying they would surely die. Now let's understand something very important and fundamental here. God is creator one. God is lawgiver number two. God decides good and evil. Now that's key and important. And all human beings, beginning with Adam and Eve, must choose. Now hold your place here, because we'll come back, and let's come to the book of Deuteronomy. Now the book of Deuteronomy, God gives the same choice to the children of Israel. Let's see what he says. Let's see how this parallels Genesis, the second chapter. Let's begin here. Verse 10. If you shall obey the Lord your God to keep his commandments and statutes which are written in this book of the law, and if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, For this commandment which I command you today is not hidden from you, neither is it far off. God made sure that his commandments were always at hand. Because, see, without law, there's no sin. Without definition of good and evil, you don't know what is right and what is wrong. And that's what's happened into this society. There are no standards. What's right? What's wrong? Well, whatever you want to do. That's how they got themselves in trouble. Since it's not in heaven, we don't have to send astronauts up there to get it. We don't have to send them up to the moon Titan to find out and dig down in that frozen moon and find, the commandments of God in the scroll. Oh, let's go back and tell the rest of mankind what we have found. And yes, since I found it in this astronaut, I've come back. I am going to be very important because I found it. Not so. He says, the word is very near you, verse 14, in your mouth and in your heart, so that you may do it. God wants us to do his commandments. You know, I'll just say right here, the Christian religion today is responsible for the sinful, sex-obsessed society we have today because they, though holding the Bible in their hands, worshiping it and kissing it in ceremony, have rejected it. That's why we are where we are today. Amazing, isn't it, huh? Now he says, verse 15, behold, I've set before you this day life and good, death and evil, in that I command you. Same as what he told Adam, right? Did he not command the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree that it is in the midst of the garden you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat thereof you shall surely die. Yes, indeed. Now you can go back and watch the video cast we did on how did man become sinful. So this parallels right along with that. But we're talking about how did mankind become obsessed with sex. All right, let's go on. In that I command you this day to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, so that you may live and multiply. Doesn't that sound like Genesis 1? Yes, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth. God wants love within marriage. God wants sex within marriage. God wants families to grow, communities to grow, nations to grow, but to keep his laws, because he gave them in love, and especially the sexual laws, because once those are broken down, everything falls apart. We'll see that. Go on. You may live and multiply, and the Lord your God shall bless you in the land where you go to possess it. Doesn't everyone want the blessings of God? All right. Let me give you a little test. Everyone who wants the curses of God, raise your hand. Well, I can't see into your house, but I'm sure no one raised his or her hand, right? No. You don't want the cursings of God, do you? You want the blessings. But of course. Understand this. As we will see, Satan will come along and say, if you sin, I'll give you a benefit. Now, if you don't know the word of God, you don't understand what that temptation is. But Satan always says, if you follow me, I'll give you a benefit. And you know what that benefit is? A curse. Let's go on. Notice verse 17. But if your heart turn away so that you will not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. Did not Adam and Eve do that with Satan? Did they not make Satan the devil their God right in the Garden of Eden? Right in the presence of God himself? Yes. Sounds an awful lot like some religious leaders and churches and cathedrals and temples, doesn't it? Yes, indeed. Then he gives a warning, like he gave warning to Adam and Eve. Don't eat of that tree. Verse 18, I denounce to you this day that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days on the land where you pass over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your seed may live. That's what God wants. Do you think God likes the societies the way they are today? Everything leading to death and destruction and war and famine and disease and sexual sins, mental illness, lust, crazed criminals. Don't blame God. He told you it would happen, just like the law of gravity. If you break the law of gravity, you're going to get hurt. You know, if you dive out of an airplane without a parachute, hey, the free fall is wonderful as long as you're going down. But your grace period is only how long it takes to get from the airplane to the ground. When you hit it, bam, you're gone. Well, God doesn't quite do it that way. Now, here's what God wants. Here's what God told the children of Israel. And here is what God wanted Adam and Eve to do. Here's what God wants you to do, wants me to do. And that's why church at home. So that you can begin to learn to do this verse right here, verse 20. That you may love the Lord your God and may obey his voice, may cleave to him, for he is your life and length of days. So that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, to give it to them. And did not God give them the Garden of Eden? Yes, indeed. Amazing, isn't it? Why do human beings have such a hatred and contempt to God and his laws? Why are we so perverse that we think we can lie, we can cheat, we can have extramarital affairs, we can have perversions of sex? No, we'll talk about God's laws concerning that. So don't get all homophobized out there and think, oh, I'm attacking homosexuals. I'm showing you all sexual sins. That's what we'll do. And the source of it and the cause of it. And so rather than attack me and say, there he goes again, ask yourself this. Is it true or is it not? What have you observed in your life and other people's lives? How have you been victimized because of being obsessed with sex? And how have you hurt and destroyed your life, your emotions, your memory, your mind? Because of that. Now, through Christ, there is a way out. We'll talk about that later. But right now, we're talking about how did we get where we are? And it began with Adam and Eve. And look what happened to their offspring. We'll see it. Human history is no different back then and now. Let me ask a question, since you're at home. What is your sex life? Is it right with God? How is your marriage, if you're married? How are your emotions and all being torn up if you've been out having affairs? Enjoy that? What is it like? Well, Let's see how we got that way. We'll come back in the next segment and we'll go through Genesis, the third chapter, and we'll see what happened. Then we'll see what happened to all the offspring of Adam and Eve, of whom we are way down the genetic line from there, but we're still their children, and every human being's got a belly button to prove it. Right? Yes. Well, thank you for inviting me into your home. This is Fred Coulter saying, be sure and go to our other website, cbcg.org, and we have hundreds of sermons, in-depth studies. Download the material that we have right here on Church at Home. Be sure and download the one, Who and What is a True Christian? If you think you are a Christian, download that and prove from the Bible, am I really a Christian in the way that God wants me to be, or am I a fake? That's very important, so that you can understand what God wants from you. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. And until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.